Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 432. We've got a great show lined up for you today. I'm Brian Cohen from Author Ad School, joined by H. Claire Taylor from, oh my gosh, so many things, FFS Media, but particularly today highlighting the Reclaim Your Author Career Kickstarter at kickffs.com. Claire, I think you're going to beat me.
We'll see. We'll see. I might set a stretch goal for $1 more than what you made.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should. The people would like that.
And the stretch goal would just be me just bragging to you. It'll just stomping, be a video of that.
Stomping on my grave. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like a brag video. I think.
Yeah.
A diss track.
Yeah. Yeah. The FFS Media diss track.
Your campaign's gone exceptionally well. I think
I'm very happy with it. Yeah, this has been amazing.
Tell us some of the highs and the lows. Maybe the lows, then the highs. We'll go in the positive direction.
Well, I will say that the what's called dead zone is exhausting. So that's like, you know, the initial excitement has worn off, but you don't yet have the urgency of the final 2 days. And there's just time in between and you're just kind of chugging along. And it's been relatively good for a dead zone. You know, I'm getting a little bit more each day, more backers, more people interested. I was filling the space with a email series so that I could make sure that at least people were still opening my emails.
Right.
And then, yeah, so that was probably the low. The high has just been watching the number of backers go up and seeing how many people I'm going to get to work with after this. So that's really exciting. Yeah. And we've hit so many stretch goals. So we have, I just dropped another stretch goal today for people to go for, which is if we hit 25,000 for the project, then I will add a chapter to the book. That's awesome. Going through the top five questions that, you know, authors want to know, stuff like indie versus traditional, KU versus wide, those sorts of things that we struggle with all throughout our career because situations change, but how you would use and reference your Enneagram type to make the right decision for you. So that's going to be a chapter that I'm going to add at the end if we hit that goal. And I think it'll be pretty cool if we can make it.
No, I like that so much because it aligns really well with just, I mean, the concept of the book, certainly, but what we're always trying to do on the show and what, you know, we've had Becca on here as well, is just like, your decision shouldn't be made off of other people and what they do because they are different than you. They are literally a different type of person than you are. Unless you luck out and happen to be, oh no, this is the exact same Enneagram as me. And so your decisions, basing them solely off, what this person did or what this person did, could be antithetical to the very fiber of who you are. That won't make you happy.
No, that wears you down over time. But it's also, you know, the people who've heard me on here go, well, I think it would depend, like, and are sick of that. Well, I'll tell you what it depends on in that bonus chapter. I will spell it out, what it actually depends on, and I'll break it down. So you won't have to just guess. You know, obviously, we don't have time to go over it in the show, but in a bonus chapter, it'll be probably a pretty long chapter, but it'll be a good reference.
Awesome. Cool. Well, kickffs.com. Go get it. Go get that stretch goal. And so Claire can make her diss track.
Yeah. I've got to think of all these things that rhyme with Brian.
Oh yeah. Flying,
lion, dying, Mayan. I don't know.
I did have a friend who used to call me Flying Bowen or Crying Bowen. That's what it was. That's what it was. It was good. The diss track was,
I'm going to use that for solid. The diss track.
Yeah, please do. Please do. You can reach out to Alvin Tan. He'll
okay. Yeah. Thank you, Alvin.
Yeah. So I have some news, which is that Author Ad School is back open through Monday. It's $100 off what you can get it at regularly throughout the year. And so that's at adschool2022.com. It's always awesome each quarter getting to have new folks in. And I've really been happy with the way we've settled on for doing it, which is it rather than it just being, oh, people who take some 30-minute class of theory having to jump straight in, it's people who have been doing homework in the challenge and have been posting their ads and sharing their screenshots and getting their hands dirty, then just continuing that process on rather than starting trying to sprint from a dead stop. It doesn't always work so well. So we have a lot of fun bringing in the new class every quarter into ad school because they're already like primed and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. So, awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. Cool. Last week's question was, what platform has caught your interest lately? And why are you thinking about hopping on? TK Cass Eldridge said, I've been building a Discord community for over 2 years and it's growing. I'm not using it to sell books, but to learn more about this author gig, find my tribe and be able to ask stupid questions without being embarrassed. I haven't done much with Discord, but I know some people really love it.
Yeah. And then Pamela Thibodeau said, I'm tempted to do TikTok, but still very uncomfortable about the whole app program. Very interested in Kickstarter and would love to know more and perhaps run a program to fund my next audiobook.
Would you say, Claire, that instinct is a helpful, at least initial indicator on this? Like for Pamela, it's like kind of uncomfortable about TikTok. Very interested in Kickstarter. Does that initial wave, like obviously you still need to see if things align with who you are, but like, mm-hmm. should that initial instinct be given some weight?
Oh, absolutely. I think if I wouldn't say that you should rule out TikTok if you're uncomfortable with it, because we do tend to be uncomfortable with things that we're unfamiliar with. But the fact that you're excited about one, I would say that one gets priority.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Awesome. And Joe Edel said, more like hopping off, I'm taking my Wadi, it's their annual award, my Wadi winning book down and will be self-publishing it later this year, thus leaving the platform. The accolade was nice, but it's time to make some dollar bills. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But congrats on the Wadi.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I've never won a Wadi.
Me neither. Yeah. I wasn't aware of the Wadi, but that sounds fun.
I think hopping off a platform is a totally valid choice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And generally, if you're going to hop on a platform, you should consider hopping off another one rather than just adding more to your plate.
Mm-hmm. Jomo, as Pat Flynn once said to me, the joy of missing out. And so we can find joy in not doing a thing too. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Here we go.
And now on the Sell More Book Show, it's the tip of the week.
Guilt's out for summer. Summer can be a tough time for writers. Family vacations, wonderful weather, and drinks on the patio can make writing seem much less attractive. That leads to many authors feeling guilty about all the time spent not writing. Every day spent not writing can feel like a missed opportunity. So how can writers enjoy summer without guilt? A great strategy is to stay productive by using smaller, irregular gaps of time to tackle other writerly tasks. Most authors have a lot of little projects that they can never get to, so squeezing those out within the little gaps between summer events can be an ideal way to get those things accomplished. Quote, doing something that helps us prep for the next book, improve our skills, or understand the business of writing better will make us feel accomplished, making it easier to enjoy summer guilt-free. A few things that you can do in the summer that makes for better writing later are organizing your office or writing desk, taking a workshop or class, or reading in your genre. Finally, don't feel guilty about doing something totally for the fun of it. Quote, we're all human and need downtime. We shouldn't feel guilty or apologize for it, says Parsons. So do what you need to relax, feel balanced, and refill your creative well. Happy summer.
This is right. Headed towards you, you know, it's an arrow pointed for the bullseye of your mental well health type stuff.
Yeah.
Claire. So It is summer, and many, many authors definitely feel this guilt that I think three posts just this week of my word count goal was this, I'm short of it, I feel terrible. What's the alternative?
Feel not terrible. That's the alternative. Ooh. I mean, I think it goes back to remembering why you write in the first place, what emotional benefit it's giving you. And if you're getting that from other things, then you can just say like, life is really good right now. So, you know, sometimes we feel lonely and we write to kind of immerse ourselves in that. Well, if it's summer and you're out with friends, then you're just solving that problem another way. And that's okay. Breaks are fine. Doesn't mean you're not a writer, you know? So yeah, I like this. And I like the idea of if you really need to feel like you're doing something, you can be preparing yourself for quarter three or the fall, you know, You can be sort of building up that steam to really take off when the, you know, gun fires and just take off from the line and have a really great fall. For me, fall is the best writing time of the year, hands down, like September, October, November, up until, you know, kind of the craziness of Thanksgiving. That's prime writing time for me. So yeah, if that is what it is for you, go for it.
Yeah. I love that. Awesome. Please do not beat yourselves up. There's enough. There's enough in the world. We don't need to add self-inflicted punches to our own brain there.
Yeah. Please go don't. Enjoy the things that make life worth living.
Love it. Awesome. Tip number two, keyword discoverability. If you've been wondering how to find the best keywords to make your book discoverable on Amazon, wonder no more, says Dale Roberts. Keywords can make or break your book's discoverability, so it's important to spend the time to find the right ones. Quote, write a list of words that accurately describe your book, says Roberts. Don't overthink it. Also, don't get too attached to these words because this list is going to change, end quote. After your list is ready, you'll need to install DS Amazon Quick View, a free extension in your Chrome browser, and head to Amazon. It takes a few minutes per keyword, and the extension will help you parse, organize the Amazon data. Quote, by now you should have a giant list of keywords. Separate the really good ones from the just okay keywords, says Roberts. Distill the list down to 1 to 4 exact match keywords to use in your 7 keyword slots in KDP. Then match up and pair additional keywords whose meanings overlap. Your goal is to fill each of the 750 character slots as much as you can. While Roberts's process is free, it can also be time consuming. If you have a lot of books or plan to make frequent changes, consider a product like Publisher Rocket, which automates the keyword process. For the full how-to, check out the blog post and videos at Self-Publishing with Dale. I appreciate what Dale kind of laid out here, which was, here is the cheap, free, and long way to do it. And then here's Publisher Rocket, a tool which is not overly expensive by any means. But I have a lot of people reach out to me during the challenge with other things. It's like, well, I can't do ads. Can you tell me every single step of this other process? And today when that happened, what I said was, well, here's step one. You go do that. You take the action here because you can't always have everything laid out for you on a silver platter. I like to do that with the ads, but you don't necessarily get that with every little bit of self-publishing. Dale's laid out a nice free process here, but it's going to take time. You can't always get everything you want, hours of education for free, and then have someone just like egging you on. You can do it. Like, there's sometimes you pay money and you get it fast. Sometimes it's free and you do it slow. And I like that Dale laid out kind of both options here. What are your thoughts, Claire?
Yeah, I think that this is a very clear process. I personally use Publisher Rocket. I bought it a long time ago and they just keep upgrading it. It's a lifetime, you know, purchase. So
yep.
It's not like a monthly subscription. I think that's important to point out. It's been a very good investment for me.
Yeah.
It saved me a lot of time, which is more important to me than the whatever it costs right now, which is not, like you said, not super expensive. I don't know if they've raised the price or whatever. But so yeah, I would say that generally you got to weigh your time against your money and see what it is. And I mean, I'm with you. Like, I'm happy to help people, but I think that idea of just giving the first step is really smart because I'm not going to lay it all out if they aren't even going to take the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Awesome. Next one over to you.
All right. Backlist Bonanza. If you have a backlist of books, it's important to make the most of every title. Backlist is a term used to describe any book or series previously published and often not actively marketed. The front list or the newest books tend to get the most attention, says the Ask Ally team. Quote, today we can promote any book anytime, but how do you make the most of your backlist as well as your front list? End quote. Before you start throwing marketing money at your backlist, it's important to take a hard look. If the books are 4 or 5 years old, take a look at your covers, metadata, and book descriptions to see if they have stood the test of time. If not, it's time for an update. In addition to your books themselves, it's important to update the things that support them. Think email lists, autoresponders, and reader magnets. You may have learned a lot about good email practices since you first wrote your welcome sequence, and you could have plenty of unpublished material to repurpose to get new readers onto your list. Once your books and support materials are ready to go, it's time to start promoting. A lot of the strategies that work with new books also work with your backlist, but feel free to use discounts and box sets to attract new readers to stories they may have never seen before. This is right up your alley, Brian.
Yes. And it got me thinking about restaurants and hotels. Why about restaurants and hotels? Well, if you are, you know, looking through reviews or you are, you know, from out of town, you want to go to a nice place to eat, nice place to stay. You can walk into a place, really any business, and you can tell if they have not changed the decor in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You can feel when it's old and you can feel when it's been renovated. And these businesses do this because they want to provide a certain experience for their customers. They don't want their customers to feel like, wow, this is an old, dingy place. They want to feel like this is a nice, new, comfortable, clean spot. Your books are the same as these restaurants and these hotels. You need to make sure that your book feels like it's a newer, modern book that could have been released this year. If the cover or the title or the book description do not seem like they are new. And yes, I know books are going to have a publication date on it, but most readers aren't going to look at that. No. Just take TikTok helping books that are 20, 40 years old to take off. So you just need to make sure it looks the part and feels the part. And I love that they point out here, if it's not, it might be time for an update, might be time for an upgrade. Nobody likes to do it. These restaurants don't like to do it. These hotels don't like to do it, but they do it because they can tell they're losing money. And you need to do it if you can tell that you're losing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I have a series that I'm thinking of doing this too, and I think I'm going to use Kickstarter for it because I think it's still the content's relevant, but everything else is not. And, you know, I was in a bookstore the other day and browsing the romance section. And I was like, this is not the romance section I remember. Mm. All of the covers are that bright color with the, like, you know, the illustrations with like the faceless illustrations of the heroine and the heroine. You know, maybe they've got a little attitude. They've got their arms crossed and they're leaning back to back or whatever. Like, it's all that. And that is not clean romance. That is not all rom-com. That is just what romance is. I mean, you can find some just amazing smut in these little cartoon pages, you know, like it's, so it's definitely, and romance is always one of those genres that it just changes so fast. So you have to keep rebranding, but I'm going to do this. So I'm going to give it a shot and see how it goes and I'll report back.
That's awesome. Please do. We will report on you.
Yeah. I'll be the story. I'll make the news. I'm going to be somebody.
You're finally. I'm mad as hell and I'm okay. All right, let's go to
that's the wrong path for my type.
Okay, we'll make sure. Oh, you're right about that. Now thinking about you a little bit more. Let's go into the top five news, and I'm up first.
It's time for the Sell More Book Show top five news. Number five.
Follow the data. Facts and figures about self-publishing are notoriously difficult to find, but very easy to misrepresent, as we've seen over the years. While we once had Data Guy on our side to give us the real numbers, today, good data is hard to find. Good data is hard to... There are three main reasons for this, says Allies Orna Ross. The self-publishing platforms don't share it because they don't want their competitors to know how they're doing, end quote. In addition, many self-published authors don't use ISBNs, which makes tracking self-published book sales difficult and incomplete. Finally, most reports on author income conducted by national writer organizations come from a traditional publishing perspective. Quote, the questions asked by their surveys are often meaningless to any serious independent author and can be impossible to answer, end quote. The incorrect data often compares the income of all self-publishing with the top 1% of traditional publishing. Quote, the lack of relevant data, together with skewed interpretations and flawed methodologies, does real harm to writers' well-being, creative motivation, and understanding of their opportunities, says Ross. Ally plans to use a variety of methods to gather better data about indie author sales, says Melissa Addy, Ally's campaigns manager, including using data supplied by book distributors such as Draft to Digital and Smashwords, plus direct surveys of indie authors. Quote, now we are calling on you to help us get real shareable data that will support this true story, says Addy. When we gather and share information and better understand this rapidly changing market we're working in, we help each other to make informed decisions. So good on Ally for trying to collect this data, because all the surveys that we hardly ever report on them anymore, because it's like the Association of American Publishers, and it doesn't tab indies or Amazon's data. Therefore, it is missing too much to be relevant. What are your thoughts on this one, Claire?
I agree. I mean, there are very few coherent and reliable data sources for what we're doing. And I think that can be really detrimental to authors who, instead of having the totality of data in the data set, they just see the sort of outliers, the people who say, I published three books in this genre and I rapid released them and now I'm making $100,000 a year. And it's like, oh, well, I could do that, you know, and then it doesn't happen. So, you know, we really want to make sure that we're understanding that there is this huge ocean and we're really, you know, we're not seeing the full picture very often as indies.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're either seeing that, what you described, the big success story outliers, or we're seeing self-publishers make $200 a year. Like right. That, we're seeing one or the other. We're rarely seeing the actual like median of where people are in this particular career path of independent self-publishing.
Yeah. And it can be when you think that there's this promise of if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll make so much money. You're much more willing to sacrifice the values that you have and what matters to you to get it done. Oh, and yeah. Then you look around and you go, oh, I've been sacrificing all of this stuff that I didn't really want to sacrifice long-term. I've been doing that for like 2 years. Whoops. Right. So I think that the data is really important for long-term thinking.
Love that. Awesome. Let's go into number four, and it's you.
Number four.
The Writing Man. There is a new reality show coming to television this year, and it's being made in the spirit of Survivor and Big Brother. Only this one is about writing books. Quote, the reality show format offers amateurs and unknowns a chance to display their latent talent and work with mentors to nurture it in a competition charged with tension. Could the format work for writers too? The producers of America's Next Great Author think so, says Joanne O'Sullivan of Publishers Weekly. The show is the brainchild of the same people behind the long-running show Pitchapalooza, an American idol for books, and owners of the book coaching business, The Book Doctors. After years of developing the concept, the creators are ready to shoot a pilot, which they hope will lead to full production of the show, which is aimed at an audience that, quote, loves drama on and off the page, end quote. The winner of the pilot show will receive $2,500, and plenty of advice and mentorship. When the show is picked up for production, quote, substantial prize money and publishing opportunities are expected to open up. While some are saying that this is new and revolutionary, Writer Beware has discovered at least 8 failed reality shows about the book writing process in the last 15 years. Gee, I can't imagine why a reality show about writing books could fail. Can't even fathom that.
Well, it's tough because you'd want it. Like, if I'm going to say I don't want a bunch of singers to compete on national TV for reach and the possibility of a contract that they've been waiting for their whole lives, that would be, I think, shallow of me. Like, I don't watch those kind of shows very often. I watched The Voice for a little while, but I want them to succeed because, hey, more money for artists. That's a great thing. So certainly I would want a book-related and writer-related reality show to succeed.
Oh, I don't wish it ill.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I wish that it would work. And hey, who knows? Maybe this is the 9th show and this one finally pulls it off. Hear where you're coming from. That it's very unlikely to succeed.
I mean, what you're going to be performing your writing process? Like, what is the actual, are they going to be reading excerpts? Like, what is the actual, see, it's just hard to go from that into the visual drama and the, like, you know, unless they're just sitting there reading sections and being critiqued. I'll be interested to see what it is. You know, I have been known to watch a reality TV show now and again. So
have you ever seen, I've seen these clips on YouTube, the editing process of an Indian soap opera? The editing, the transitions, the close zooms, the overlays, I think that's what the show needs.
Yeah.
It's like a new character comes in and then there is a 2-minute clip that is just a bunch of different camera angles of this character with like very intense music. If they had that in this show, I'm all over it.
We need more star wipe.
Yeah, there's definite star wipe in those. You have to look it up. Everyone listening, please look up Indian soap opera new character or something. And it's just, it's everything this show needs to make writing exciting.
If it took that almost like tongue in cheek, campy, like, we know it's writers, we know they're working on manuscripts, but we're going to really jazz it up with some good transitions and like sparkle effects. I would be 100% in.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Here we go with number three. Narrow focus, happy life. Sometimes you can get more done by doing less, suggests high fantasy author Chris Fox in his latest YouTube video. Quote, for the longest time, I've been flying around the country, making videos, running Kickstarters, and expanding my businesses, says Fox. That was sustainable when I was 35 and had no kids. But now I'm 46 and haven't had 8 hours of sleep in almost 3 years, end quote. Fox found that he was getting less done because he had to split what time and energy he had over all of these projects. Rather than get discouraged, Fox performed a very necessary triage. Quote, I killed or postponed a whole bunch of projects, admits Fox, who realized that spreading himself thinly across so many projects was keeping him from getting them all done. So focused on his long-time passion, his high fantasy series, and using his extra time for a fun project that wasn't tied to anything monetary. Fox just celebrated 1 year as a fantasy author with book 4 on track to be released on August 31st. Quote, 12 months in this has been amazing, Fox said. I'm happier. I have more energy. I get excited about work again in a way I just sort of lost somewhere. And I do it all spending a ton of time with my son. End quote. Claire, I'll give you first crack at this because I chat with Chris about every month. And so I actually was privy to a lot of this and was so happy that Chris is happy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm sure he felt a lot of pressure to keep doing all of the things that he did because he is a very influential person in the indie publishing community.
Right.
And I think this just goes to show that he can, if he can, you know, say maybe this pressure isn't as much as I'm putting on myself, maybe it's not that important, and make it work, then most of us can, at least right. feeling the social pressure. We create a lot of pressure on ourselves. And this isn't just for people who do nonfiction, but this is authors who are writing a series and maybe it's not selling and they want to move on to another series, but they feel that obligation to keep going on this one series because, you know, some readers are invested and, oh my gosh, they're going to be so mad at me. Maybe it won't be as bad as you think. And maybe yeah. your readers will just be happy if you communicate to them, I'm having to do less so that I can enjoy myself more.
You know, you talked earlier about, or we talked earlier about the influencers at the top sharing these success stories of, I published 3 books and made 10 grand or what have you. And it's great and refreshing when someone who is looked upon very highly in the community shares a, so I quit a bunch of stuff so that I could be happy. And for Chris to share that, and I've loved getting a chance to see his journey. He's writing high fantasy, doing woodworking. And I mean, he's basically Ron Swanson. He's basically Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, but as a fantasy author. And so he's got his woodworking, his high fantasy, and his family. And that's enough. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah. I feel like that was the ultimate conclusion for him, you know, yeah. Ron Swanson.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, end of that show. Awesome. Let's go on to number two, and it's you.
Number two.
The influencer effect. The author community hasn't been particularly successful in using influencers to sell books, but that was before Book Talk. Everyone from authors to publishers to major bookstores are noticing the effect that Book Talk can have on sales. So it could be worth looking into how an influencer could help you sell your book too. Quote, in general, most people consider influencers as those with massive audiences, but if a small audience would still be valuable to you, there's no need to rule out micro-influencers with smaller followings, says Written Word Media's Clayton Noblet. For authors, good influencers will largely be about reading and book recommendations. Quote, remember, you want to expose your readers, says Noblet. So the influencers you'll want to work with will likely be those who produce content for readers. Book influencers can be a sustainable source of marketing. They can help you sell books and grow your own social media numbers at the same time. Because of this, you can start small, then seek out bigger influencers as you grow. Noblet has ideas for finding the perfect influencer for you and your book, developing your pitch and approach, and building a relationship so you can continue to work together. Visit the blog post at Written Word Media and read the complete guide to influencer marketing for authors.
Sorry, Written Ooh. Word. You're not allowed to do guides.
No, guides. Yeah.
Allies, trademark. Ally does guides. I find this kind of interesting. I know that it's a different kind of marketing and it's not typical. This is something that businesses have been doing for years and years, social media influencers. But a 20-year-old kid who just so happens to run a Book Talk reviewing books and they suddenly have 10,000, 15,000 followers, they want to monetize that, certainly. And they're not so like millions and millions of followers that they're going to cost tens of thousands of dollars or anything. So what Noblet is pointing out here is that there is opportunity here. Mm-hmm. And this was totally the case on Bookstagram and all of that. Because I remember paying an influencer to, you know, share about my book on his platform. But TikTok is newer. So maybe you get in with a lower cost than you will in 2 years. That's kind of the long and the short of it. Claire, should people go out there and find a Book Talk influencer?
If you want to, I guess.
What Enneagram aligns with finding a Book Talk influencer?
I don't know. I would say that this is something that you could do if you've already done some basic setup to position your business well, your writing business well. If you have a good cover, it's not going to be effective if you don't have a good cover or an appropriate cover for the genre, because it's just a visual medium.
Yeah.
And we're working on very gut impulse. Ooh, that's pretty. I want it kind of buying behavior. So, you know, make sure you're set up on that end. And then why not? I think BookTok has become such a large share of TikTok. It's not by no means a majority, but it's not going unnoticed by anyone. I follow all these different accounts that have nothing to do with books, and they know about BookTok. And they reference BookTok, and they have seen things on BookTok. So BookTok is its own whole language of things, and there's a lot of opportunities there. And we are still somewhat in early adopter state of TikTok in general. So it would be an easy way to get some views. I don't know what rates people are asking for, if anything. It could just be that you say, hey, can I send you a free book? You love this genre. I write in the genre. Can I send you a copy? I've done that before on Instagram, and it wasn't really like they just commented on one of my posts and I said, hey, do you want a book? And it kind of worked out. But yeah, you can do that because there's still such good organic reach on TikTok now.
Right. And that will change because it always does.
It will.
Yeah.
Oh, look, and another tactic becoming ineffective. Must be a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wednesday when people are listening. So it was effective on Tuesday and then by Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. Well, tactics come and go. Mm-hmm. We share a lot about them on the show, but we are going to still share. We're still going to let people know when things are effective. And we'll also let you know when things dip. And that's how the news works.
That's why it's news and not olds.
Oh, I don't want to do olds. So let's go into the number one story of the week.
And now the number one top five news item.
You are the 1%. How many people start a book but never finish it? Quote, an internet rumor suggests that 97% of writers never finish their first novel, says Dan Parsons for the Self-Publishing Formula. Industry experts have debated that the figure might be closer to 99%, end quote. The exact number is unknowable because many people who start on a book never share. No matter the true number, every book not finished is a loss. The reasons for not finishing a book are wide-ranging, but there are also a few common pitfalls that authors can fall into, says Parsons. Quote, you might know that it's possible to finish a book, but you don't know that you can do it until you do, end quote. Some solutions include using positive self-talk and telling others you're going to do it to get some moral support. Other authors struggle to finish a project because they don't have a plan with meaningful details or timescale, which can create too much wiggle room to do other things or procrastinate. This problem can be easy to overcome with a simple plan. It will help you to know what and when you need to write. Now all you have to do is show up and do it. Quote, the path to a finished book has hundreds of pitfalls, says Parsons. What you must remember is that most roadblocks can be overcome as long as you prepare properly and keep moving. Follow the guidelines in this article and reflect on ways you can solve your unique issues. Why did I put this at number one? I put this at number one because, oh my gosh, y'all, you've all done this before. You are the 1%. You have done incredible things. Dan Parsons is giving suggestions to people who are not you, millions and millions of people who are not you, because you have actually done this. And every so often, I love to remind people how awesome they are. This is your reminder. Claire, thoughts?
I think this points out a very important phenomena for everyone to know, which is that once we attain a certain level of mastery, we tend to discredit it as meaningful. So, you know, oh yeah, I wrote 3 books, but that's nothing, right? Like, but that was easy, right? We tend to think the things that we've already accomplished were somehow easy, even though in the moment we were probably struggling or having some sort of troubles. We might've had easy moments, but we tend to, like, our memory just does that. And so then we feel like we're always behind and we feel like we haven't accomplished anything. And both of those are empirically wrong.
Right. Yeah. I love that you brought up just this, once we pass the goalpost, moving that goalpost, it doesn't, that line that we cross doesn't matter anymore, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It matters as much as you let yourself make it matter. And you're allowed to let yourself celebrate. You're allowed to let yourself enjoy the having done rather than this feeling mm-hmm. that you need to do something else. And so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're also afraid that if we celebrate something, someone with it who's already done it or achieved it or something will come around and be like, oh, that's nothing. And we're so afraid of that, that we end up saying that to ourselves to sort of preempt it. But it's like, just let that jerk come around and say that if they're going to say that. But usually they don't, you know, usually people are like, wow, you wrote a book. Like, oh my gosh, you've written more than one book. What? Like, how do you do that? Like, what's that like? You know, and that's important that you will get that more often than you'll have someone come around and just like, you know, kind of.
Oh, 3 bucks.
Rain on your parade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay away from the rain. Bring your umbrella.
Yeah. When they come out, be like, cool. Noted.
Yeah.
Noted. Like, that's not a healthy person to hang out with.
I like the Elise Myers. I do not receive that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We need a question of the week.
Ooh, what have we been talking about today? My brain's a little slow.
Great question. So we talked about how it's awesome that you've written a book, TikTok influencers. We've talked about doing less. We've talked about the writing reality show, why we think it would fail, but what it needs, which is wacky editing. And we talked about data, metadata, and book backlists. We should do this every time. Remember what we did. Keywords. And we talked about not being guilty about doing less and enjoying your summer. So what do you think?
This is hard. Let's talk about Chris's.
Okay.
Let's talk about if there is one project that you're really like, if you had to pick one thing to focus on, what would it be and what would you let go?
Love it. I love that exactly as it is. What would you do and what would you let go? Love it. You can answer that question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com or, as most of you are doing, going over to the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. The first few months of the After Party group, there were more questions answered. I think we are hitting some dog days of summer here. So feel free to take a minute from your lawn chair or what have you, and answer the question of the week, and then go back to relaxing. So, although is that antithetical to what we just suggested?
I mean,
please
don't
answer our question.
Yeah, don't do it for anyone but us.
There we go. We need a hot potato of wisdom here. I'm willing to take it.
Yeah, enjoy that potato, Brian.
So I will. So as Claire already knows, I spent the greater half of Sunday night into Monday morning in the ER, pediatric ER. Fortunately, Riley is feeling a lot better than she was that night and is almost fully recovered. But things aren't always going to go your way, and you have the ability to make yourself think that everything is now going to go to crap. Or you can say, we're just going to cope with this and we're going to move on. And the plan that we had going on, going into this week is going to be a different plan now. The old Robert Burns plans of mice and men oft gang aglay, as he said, but they go awry, as we would say. And that's okay. And that's normal. And everybody is alive in this situation. Everybody is okay. Currently, while we were sitting here, Riley bought 2 new games on her Amazon tablet. They were both free, but I saw them come in and I was like, I hope she didn't spend money, and she didn't. I would say if she's good enough to buy games on her tablet, then I'm okay to say, I'm so glad that she's okay and that the world is going to move on one step at a time.
Yeah, I love that.
Started with an ER. It ended with, what are you buying? So those are my words of wisdom.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Sure, of course. So this has been a crazy month. We barely made it to this show, Claire.
This show was so close to not happening.
Yeah. You literally did ask me the question, we can't skip a week, right? And I said, no, we're not allowed to because we're 431 in a row going into today. We had to get to 432. Someone from this show will be back next week to host. I cannot guarantee it's going to be both of us because one of us may need a mental health week, but we're going to keep it going. We'll be back here next week for 433 in one way, shape, or form. And go contribute to Claire's Kickstarter if you haven't at kickffs.com because there's some great rewards there.
So many bonuses. I'm up to my neck in these bonuses.
Yeah, I can see. You need to get higher ground so that you can breathe.
Yeah, I'll just do my next video on top of a ladder.
Ooh, I like that. Not dangerous at all.
Like a car salesman. I'm up to my neck in bonuses. Help me out. I'm drowning.
That would be so great. I would love that so much. So go check that out. If you're not in ad school, we'd love for you to join. That's at adschool2022.com. And yeah, something resembling a host. We'll be back here next week for 433.
Holograms. Next week, holograms. You heard it here first.
Ooh. And then we'll have a news story about your hosts are now holograms.
Read by AI. Read by Google AI.
Oh my gosh. That sounds good, Claire. And with that, thank you for listening. We'll be back for 433 next week. Have a great week of bookselling. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.